You ready?
Vancouver's favorite way to wake up. I love their personalities. Just what I like. I think it's super funny. Love it.
I'm just going to have to undo my pants.
And those will all address your ratings.
One of the most popular morning radio teams in the business.
Matt and Drew. Matt Hunter and Drew Savage.
You can get arrested for driving nude.
Can you really?
Yes, of course you can.
Oh, note to self.
Hello, Sherry Shandling.
Matt and Drew.
Optimus Prime with Matt and Drew.
Producer James Cameron.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Drew. How you doing?
I'm Sam Smith.
You're listening to Matt and Drew.
Good morning, Vancouver. I'm Carly Rae Jepsen, and you're listening to The Matt and Drew Show.
Here's Matt and Drew.
Now that more and more people are actually back in the physical workplace, more and more people have things to complain about and remember what they didn't like about the workplace, you know, in 2019. So what are the top things? Computer issues, first and foremost, IT issues. It's just, you know, your computer's not working. And the thing is like we have no patience for it to be slow at all. You know, like this, it's like it's got to be right now. And if it's not, it's a problem. Old computers also on the list. Number three is coworkers talking too loudly. Number four is office gossip. And then you go further down the list. There's two things here that I actually wanted to touch on. Number six was when someone calls in sick, but you know they're not sick. Below that is when people call are coming in when they are sick. Which one is more bothersome to you? People that don't that call in sick. Joey, did you just cough? What's going on?
I did. Yeah. Does that tickle in my throat?
Okay.
Just got to take a drink of water.
Like, do you think that, like, because I think now people coming into work when they're actually sick is a bigger no-no than
I agree.
Other.
My pre-pandemic answer would have been faking it.
Yeah.
But my post-pandemic or current times is you coming in sick when you shouldn't really be here.
Mm-hmm. You really, it did bug you when people called in sick when they were really sick? That was a big bother?
It depends. Like, say, philosophically, there was an agreement among coworkers where people would say, you do it one time, I do it one time, you know.
Yes.
That's different. But if there was somebody that was like a repeat offender of you know that they're often not sick, but they're calling in sick.
It would be- like, let's say you start planting the seeds of your sickness on a Friday and then, then Monday, you know, I just probably need today.
It's a full-blown day.
Probably today is good. Yeah. And then Monday night, it's like, you know what, just to be safe, probably tomorrow's good. And, you know, it just keeps trickling in.
Yeah, particularly in the summer.
Yeah, heading into a long weekend.
Or leading up to Christmas, you know.
Yeah. Oh, God, who would do that? Honestly.
So are we all in agreement that the coming into work sick now is the bigger offense?
100.
Yeah.
On, don't do that.
Even if it was different before, we're on the same page that coming in when you shouldn't be there is worse.
Okay. What about office gossip? It's really high on the list as of number four. Is office gossip offensive?
It's the only thing that keeps me going.
How's it even possible now?
I was going to say, like, other than, so there's five of us here, including our assistant producer, Sammy. I don't see anybody else.
That's it.
So, like,
like yesterday we gossiped a little bit about you.
Yeah. A little bit.
Just to be truthful. Yeah. Yeah. You were away.
100%.
So,
but and you remember when you were away a couple of weeks ago in New York? Sammy had some good things to say about you.
No, but it's true. There's not enough people yet to make it really juicy.
Well, we gossip sometimes when in our building, sometimes people come in on certain days, and then we kind of just gossip about those people.
Yeah.
Mostly that we don't know them.
So Tuesday is one of the days that the sales department is in, but in terms of how their day plays out, I know when our show is over, they're all in a big sales meeting.
Yes.
So even though there's like a large team of people on this floor, we just don't see them because they're all huddled away in their meeting where they're probably gossiping about us.
Yes. But you know what? We can hear them before the meeting starts. The sales team?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah,
the loud talk. Yeah, just off the
they
kitchen.
Are. Yeah. Yeah, so we can always hear them as they are heading into their meeting. Yeah.
Coworkers talking too loudly, number three. Yeah. It's actually funny that Joey is the one that's outraged by coworkers talking too loudly.
You're waking up with the Nat and Drew Show.
Where is the most popular place to travel to in the world? This is prior to the pandemic numbers. So 2019 is the last sort of data, I guess, the data points for this. So 2019, what the most popular country in the world was to travel to. I have a list of actually the top 10.
So this is actual actual traveling data, not like people being asked what's your favorite place to go to. It's like this country attracts strictly the most tourists.
This country had, in fact, in 2019, over 90 million tourists.
I'm going to guess the United States.
No. United States has been in the number one position before, but it was third in 2019.
Okay.
I want to say South America, like Costa Rica or like some of the eco travel.
No.
Okay.
No, not in the top 10.
Joey? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Is it Canada?
No, Canada was not even in the top 10.
Oh,
We have been in the past, but we were not in 2019. France.
Oh, okay.
France was number one.
I was going to say France.
But you did it. You were nowhere close.
England was my second guess, so I at least was closer.
Yes, that's right. UK was down at number 9 with 37 million. Okay. So after France, it was Spain. Then America, China, Italy, Turkey, Mexico, Thailand, UK, and Austria. Canada, not even in the top 10. Australia, not in the top 10 either. And that one surprised me, but maybe because Australia is just so far for so many people. Like it's
basically everyone.
It's unless you're from New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't want to go there.
No. It's a big trip for everybody else, and that makes sense for Europe. A lot of European countries to be at the top because it's so common. They're so small and so close together.
Sure.
Everybody just weekends away in another country.
Yeah.
And they're only driving an hour and a half.
So it's almost like Europe is cheating. Because really, like, it's just like walking over to your next door neighbor as opposed to, you know, making, this
You get the global visitors, like the people from Canada and the U.S. and Australia, because a lot of Australians travel to Europe for recreational travel. Plus, they get all the cross-pollination within Europe itself.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
I always thought that's one of the reasons that I think just being able to, like, live in Europe would just be so cool is you literally drive an hour and the culture is completely different.
Oh,
just go, like, and, you know, the language is completely different. The buildings look completely different.
I have friends that grew up here in Vancouver, but they've been living in England for, 30 years probably now. And I think for the first year and a half or 2 years that they lived in London, they never spent a weekend in London or even England.
Wow.
They were always like jumping a $25 flight across to go to some, whether it's Amsterdam for the weekend or Paris for the weekend or Portugal for the weekend. Like they were always just going somewhere for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Going to Victoria for the weekend is cool. Going to Harrison Hot Springs for the weekend is cool.
Maple Ridge has a lot to offer.
Yeah, yep. But it doesn't feel as cool as like going to Copenhagen.
No.
Hey,
Aaron? Are you going to tell me that Harrison Hot Springs and Copenhagen are the same?
I don't know. It's pretty nice.
Do you have an endorsement coming up with Harrison Hot Springs?
No, I was literally Googling it yesterday.
Yeah, Harrison's lovely.
It's nice, but it's not Copenhagen.
This is the Nat and Drew Show. Text your comments anytime to 103.5.35. Standard messaging rates apply. Time to go back. Retro News.
Taking a look back on this day in pop culture history for June the 28th in 2003, the very first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, The Curse of the Black Pearl, premiered at Disneyland.
Death lies before us as we sail to the Fountain of Youth.
Captain Jack Sparrow's first maiden voyage.
Most sober, though, do you think?
Probably, like of the bunch that he did, of the four or five that he did. Probably.
This was amazing. Remember this movie?
I actually never really liked it. It's the only one in the series that I saw, and I didn't really like it because I didn't feel like I could understand what most of the pirates were saying.
They're saying, we're going to get that ship. We're going to get the treasure.
Blimey.
Ahoy. There is a rumor that is not true that Johnny Depp actually was going to be reprising the role as Jack Sparrow in a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. This is internet rumor that was everywhere for a few days. And the thing that was so ridiculous about it was that Disney was going to pay him $301 million.
$301?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just so you know, before the whole thing collapsed years ago, he was set to get $22 million. $1 million.
Right.
So the $301 million seemed like a bit of an overreach.
Wouldn't shock me though if he winds up doing another Pirates project at some point. Probably not for that salary and not exactly what was being reported, but it wouldn't shock if he revisited at some point.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, now might be the time, but they're not. But I think you can get him a lot. Listen, I don't want to tell Disney how to do its business, but I just think that they could get him for less. Yeah. On this day in 1996, what felt like the funniest movie ever opened in theaters.
Thanks to the miracle of science, he's about to make a change for the thinner.
Ah! I'm thin! I'm thin!
Looking for any kind of clothes in particular?
Spandex! All spandex!
It was The Nutty Professor with Eddie Murphy, and it was, critics loved it. They praised in particular the makeup, because Eddie Murphy played a character in a fat suit who developed a potion to become thin and then his alter ego. So he was Professor Clump as a larger man. When he got thin, he was Buddy Love, and Buddy Love was a jerk. And Jada Pinkett was in it, and Dave Chappelle was in it as well. And of course, there was a sequel, Nutty Professor Tooth Clumps.
I never saw either of them. Did you guys all see them?
Oh, yeah. I loved both of them, especially the Clumps.
Aww.
Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. Anyone else remember that?
I remember the sound.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think I actually have a better memory of the... I thought that Hercules was from the first one, but it's not. It's the second one. He's putting his whole family, right?
I think it's the second one, but it might be the first one. But it was, just the mom was praising her young fella.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I loved it. I also loved the soundtrack. I actually had the soundtrack to the Clumps on CD in 2000, and I put it on repeat.
There was a big Janet Jackson had a huge hit on that soundtrack, because she was in the second one.
Yeah, that's right.
Not in a fat suit, if I recall.
No, I think she wasn't. She was a love interest, wasn't she?
She was, and it was just Eddie Murphy playing all his different family in the Clumps.
Janet Jackson was the only person in the movie who was not Eddie Murphy.
That's correct.
Everybody else was Eddie Murphy in some kind of suit. And finally, let's go back to 2003 for a moment. What a time in history this was. People who loved Clay Aiken loved him a lot. And just weeks after finishing second on American Idol, Clay hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with this song.
I've been waiting forever. This is the night when the answer to all.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it was like the winning song from American Idol. It was like his equivalent to Kelly Clarkson's A Moment Like This.
But not good.
It did become, though, the biggest selling single in the United States for the entire year and reached platinum status in Canada as well.
It's so wild. And here's the thing. It's nowhere near as good as his follow-up single, Invisible, which was awesome. Do you remember that one? That was fun. I think we played that one. Do we have it?
Do we have it? Hold on. I'm going to have to dig.
I'm sure it's somewhere.
I agree. I don't think I've ever heard that
before. It's terrible. It sounds like something that's played at the opening start of the Olympics.
It's something that had a life for a few weeks and then it went away. Yeah. This, on the other hand, I don't know whether it lives on beyond our show, but it's nice to revisit the super creepy lyrics of Clay Aiken's Invisible.
If I was invisible,
wait for it.
And I could just watch you in your room.
Excuse me, pardon me? What?
Yeah. We were all fine with the lyrics at the time. You wanted to be invisible, you wanted to watch us in our room, and we were okay with it.
Nat and Drew's Retro News. Weekdays at 6:20.
Move 103.5.
Big day. We don't get to say this very often at the tail end of June. It was a big day for Canucks fans yesterday in the city with the exciting news that Daniel and Henrik Sedin and Roberto Luongo will all be going into the Hockey Hall of Fame later on this year. It was very cool, really, because you look at who's inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame who once played for the Canucks, and there's really only one player who made their name with the Canucks that is in the Hall of Fame. There are other players who have played with the Canucks, but Mark Messier is not in the Hockey Hall of Fame because of what he did as a Canuck.
Mm-hmm. Was it the Rangers?
Edmonton Oilers. When he played with Gretzky.
I don't have a lot of hockey knowledge, but I do remember a Mark Messier Lay's potato chip commercial, where I feel like he might have been wearing a Rangers jersey, and I thought that might have been when he was doing his best work.
When Mark Messier became Mark Messier, it was with the Edmonton Oilers.
Got it, okay.
Matt Sundin played for the Canucks for a minute. Bryant. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame, but he's not in the Hall of Fame for what he did as a Canuck. Same with Cam Neely.
Was Matt Sundin Toronto?
Matt Sundin was Toronto.
Yes, now. I do have hockey knowledge.
There you go.
Now, what commercial, what junk food did he do to do a
Snickers.
Commercial for?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
So there are lots of players that have played for the Canucks, but they're not really most known for being a Canuck. Pavel Bure is really the only true Canuck.
Number 10.
That is in the Hockey Hall of Fame. And then you have a day like yesterday where three players who had their most success, and with the Sedins, obviously, drafted by the Canucks, and phenomenal career success with the team. And Roberto Luongo has played for others, but the most success, especially if you want to look at playoffs, was here in Vancouver. So it feels like three true Canucks are going into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
And beloved, right? Like, all such great guys.
Well, and the Sedins are certainly beloved, and I think Luongo is now, but one of the things that kind of occurred to me yesterday when the news broke is I don't think the fans in this town, by and large, were that great to Roberto Luongo for his entire time here.
That's right. When he was good in goal and it was, ooh, it was all good.
Yeah. And then, you know, and there were some hiccups, and especially some of those 2011 playoff games when they were trying to run for the cup and whatnot. And it felt like at least a chunk of the fan base turned. And I remember talking to friends of mine who live in other parts of the country who support other teams and whatnot. And one of the things, because Vancouver fans, Canucks fans, did not have a great reputation. I don't know whether that still stands now because the team's not hasn't really been a force for a while. But when they were really good for a good chunk of time there, Canucks fans were not really well respected by other fan bases, certainly within Canada. And I remember friends of mine saying one of the reasons was they didn't think that the fans were fair to Luongo. Like, most teams would, fan bases would kill to have a goaltender like this. And like, as soon as things kind of got rough in net, we flipped on the guy. And he's like one of the greatest goaltenders of all time.
Mm-hmm. So
totally.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. No, I remember going to a couple of games because there was like a thing where, you know, our boss would give us tickets.
I was forced to go.
Well, I don't think, I'm not a huge pocket, but I'm like, I'll go for the pretzels and for the atmosphere. And I didn't get for a while. Like, I think the first time I ever heard them do the loo thing, I thought it was booing.
Aww.
And I was very upset. I was like, this is a very rude crowd. In between my pretzel bites. You guys are rude.
That doesn't deal with public booings.
I don't get the public booing. I really don't. I feel it's embarrassing for me. It's embarrassing for everybody involved.
I think it's fine when you're booing and sometimes the home team is justified to receive the boos. I'm not sure Roberto Luongo in 2011 deserved to get booed or just kind of get some of the treatment that he got from fans around town. So, but I think people are coming around on that. I think we're looking back and appreciating what we have.
And I think he loved Vancouver. Mm. And so, yeah, I think he did.
Didn't he want to get out, like, because people were mean?
Well, he did. But yeah. I think he enjoyed most of his time here. At least that's what I understood.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, good day for the Canucks again. Hey, it's a good Canucks day at the end of June. We'll take that. It doesn't happen all that often.
This is the Nat and Drew Show.
Are you aware of an organization called the Decibel Coalition? The Decibel Coalition. Is this an organization that you're familiar with, Nat?
No, but...
Go on.
I am kind of excited.
Kind of interested?
Yeah. I'm sort of interested. I think I know where this is going, okay. But please continue.
Aaron, are you familiar with the Decibel Coalition?
No.
No? Joey?
Is it about noise?
It surely is, as its name would suggest.
Yes!
Specifically, though, I had not heard of the Decibel Coalition prior to seeing this story on CTV News yesterday, but there is such a thing, the Decibel Coalition. It's actually a national organization, and specifically they're not talking about the decibels in your neighborhood so much as they are Canada's lakes, rivers, and even oceans. It's too loud out on the water. The boats, the watercrafts that you're out there using, your Sea-Doos and stuff, it's too loud. It's too loud out on the water, and they would like, they say Canada is behind the times. Many other jurisdictions all over the world, including in 27 U.S. states, there are decibel limits in which you're not supposed to be any louder than whatever the limit is out on the water. Canada does not have such regulations. The only thing really is you got to have a muffler on your boat, but that doesn't kind of coincide with a certain decibel range, and the police don't have the decibel measuring technology to enforce what little is there. So Transport Canada is now actually gathering public consultation and feedback to see if we need a strengthening in our noise bylaws and regulations when it comes to what you're doing on the water.
I thought you were going to say Transport Canada is now looking for some people to hire, like some for vigilante justice.
Well, I liked that
okay. idea.
I don't think Transport Canada hires vigilantes. Okay.
Or if they do, they're not saying.
Yeah. Okay. I guess like an official patrol, like you could be part of the patrol.
Yeah,
to like go a hall out. Monitor.
Yeah, like a hall monitor. And it's weird because in my past, I wouldn't want to do that. But when it comes to noise, absolutely, 100%. I'd like to give them to motorcycles, and I'd like to give them to big, loud boats, and I'd also like to give them to those big, stupid trucks that some people drive.
The and big so, black smoke rolls out the back?
Yes. Like, and you're like, just this, like, this, there's no way I should be able to, like, let somebody know that this is in, you know, a monstrosity on the road right now, and somebody should be able to come and do something about it.
So you want us to be able to stand on the street, you want regulations,
mm.
just clearly defining what the acceptable limit is, and then you want to sit on the side of the road or on the side of the beach and just hold one of those sound measuring guns and catch the people who are violating the regulations.
I do like the idea of it being more on the water as opposed to being on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't we be cooler if we were in a boat, like a quiet boat that pulls up, like pulls over loud boats and finds them?
Like a canoe. You want to be in a canoe. Just paddling around, chasing after noise violence.
No, like I guess a fast sailboat.
If there were wind today, you'd be in big trouble.
Let's be clear. Nat's not sailing the boat. She's going to need some help with that. There's got to be somebody else piloting the boat.
I've sailed a boat.
You've been on a sailboat.
In Mexico.
There's a difference. Being on the catamaran tour from the all-inclusive resort and actually being a sailor.
The captain said I was driving it. He said, let me.
Very different.
The Nat and Drew Show on Move 103.5.
Well, the Decibel Coalition already has a Western representative. His name is Alan Drinkwater, but I think Alan needs to look out for Nat Hunter.
Also, what a name to be the water guy. I know. The water sound guy.
Actually, he wins. That's so perfect. I can't top that.
This is the Nat and Drew Show. Text your comments anytime to 103535. Standard messaging rates apply.
Plans are underway for a futuristic giant nuclear-powered flying hotel, Sky Cruise. There'll be gyms and pools and the ability to carry 5,000 passengers, top-notch restaurants, the whole deal, just like a cruise, but in the sky. It's designed in every way that it will never land. Maintenance will be done in the air, and they'll pick up passengers from where they want to start, and I guess they'll drop special stairs or something, but this thing will never land, and it will be floating for... could be years at a time.
It literally looks like the SHIELD helicarriers from the Avengers movies. You're flying around in the sky on one of those things.
You know, I saw those movies and I'm not quite sure what you mean, but but like big floating ships.
Big, cool. Huge flying things in the sky.
Okay, do we know whether the air will be the same type of air that we get in the airplane, that recycled air where you just feel like there's a pound of grime on your face by the time you've done 4 hours?
I would think so.
That's great.
You'll be able to open windows. Although, who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. What about deep vein thrombosis? You know how you have to worry about that when you're flying?
That's all you mean. Most people can deal with that for a week.
Okay. The risk of deep vein thrombosis.
She's Louise, Nat. Like, what about the fun part?
And so here's the thing. Nat's been worrying about deep vein thrombosis since she was like 22 years old.
It's a real concern when you're flying.
Well, nobody this young has ever worried about deep vein thrombosis.
Music that makes you feel good from yesterday and today.
Makes me feel happy.
Makes me feel so good.
Today's best variety. Move 103.5. You're waking up with the Nat and Drew Show.
Okay, here we go.
Now, here's the scoop.
Well, we're about 10 days away from the release of the next Thor movie, Love and Thunder.
Let's see who you are. I take off your disguise. And flick. Oh, you flick too hard.
Should we help him? And eventually, grape.
Christian Bale is in this Thor movie. He knows a thing or two about superhero films. He plays Gore the God Hunter in the new Thor film. But, of course, he's got experience under the cowl as Batman. And in doing some interviews about Thor yesterday, he was asked about would he ever revisit Batman. And he said he would, which is something he's never indicated before. Always felt like he was kind of done with that role. But he said yesterday he would return under one condition, and that is if writer and director Christopher Nolan personally asked him to. And Christopher Nolan has made it pretty clear that he wants no part of ever doing another Batman movie. I wonder if this is just Christian Bale's way of getting out of it, saying, hey, I would. Don't blame me. Don't blame me. I would if this guy would ask me to, but this guy has said he never wants to do another Batman movie.
Imagine if Christopher Nolan hears this and goes, oh, well, wait a minute. I didn't know you'd be interested. Okay, well, if you're interested, then I'm interested. And then Robert Pattinson's going, hold on a second. Batman. All right, so in Thor Love and Thunder, which is out July 8th, there is a full nude scene for Thor. And Chris Hemsworth says that he was actually really nervous to do it, like very nervous. But his friend and co-star Russell Crowe supported him by also going naked from the waist down. Now, to be clear, Russell wasn't required to be naked and wasn't even on the screen, like was not being filmed. He was just off to the side to support his friend. He's like, look, I've also got no pants on.
The crew were not as excited about that.
Or were they? Yeah. I don't know.
They're like, oh, Russell Crowe, his pants are off again. Like, oh, my God.
The Scoop. Weekdays at 720, 820, and 920. Move 103.5. It's Nat and Drew's $1,000 Minute. Brought to you by Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Claudia is in Burnaby this morning. How are you, Claudia?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. It's Tuesday, but it's more like Wednesday.
I know.
Because it's a short work week. That's always exciting.
Are you sticking around the area for the long weekend, or do you have big plans?
I'm here.
You're here.
Yeah, I am too.
Me too. Yeah. But still, we've got three days off.
Yeah, three days off.
Woo, woo, woo.
Sitting around.
Claudia, let's get you $1,000 so you can sit around and you can just throw dollar bills, or I guess $5 bills around, all right?
Yes.
1 minute on the clock. We'll ask you 10 questions. You get all 10 right. That $1,000 is yours. If not, it is $10 for each correct answer you give us. If you don't know the answer to something, say pass. And if there's time, we'll come back to it. The moment you give us an answer, it counts. You can't take it back.
Good luck, Claudia. Here we go. $1,000 minute starts right now. In the game of blackjack, what's the term to describe a hand totaling... What movie would you see John Cusack hoisting a boombox over his head in? Who is the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX?
Pass.
Peru or Brazil, which country's unit of currency is the Nuevo Sol?
Brazil.
Finish the title of this Netflix show, The Umbrella.
Diary? Pass.
What kind of creature is an ibex?
Pass.
Gilbert and Sullivan were a famous duo for writing what?
Pass.
Name a store where you'd shop at to collect Triangle Rewards points.
Oh, Canadian Tire.
Bucharest is the capital of what country?
Pardon? Say that again?
Bucharest is the capital of what country?
Oh, I sucked.
No, it's okay.
And I had a coughing fit. Yeah. So we were both on our A games this morning.
Okay. Give me one. Just because of that cough.
Yes. Okay. Do you have the answer for Bucharest?
No.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, Claudia, we tried. Bucharest is the capital of Romania. You were listening at the top of the hour, so thank you for that. Bust is the answer. When you have a hand in blackjack and it's over 21, you go bust. John Cusack was holding a boombox over his head in the movie Say Anything. Elon Musk, I know you knew it. You just couldn't remember his name. He is the CEO of Tesla. Nuevo Sol is the currency of Peru, not Brazil. It's the Umbrella Academy, not the Umbrella Diaries. It was a good guess, though, because obviously you don't know the show, so that was a good guess. And Ibex is a goat, And Gilbert and Sullivan were a duo famous for writing like musicals, comedies, that sort of thing.
So $10.
20 bucks.
Yay.
You did twice as good as you thought you did.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay for you.
The Nat Andrew Show on Move 103.5.
We'll do it again tomorrow morning. Another round of the $1,000 Minute at 7:35. Powered by Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
You're listening to the Nat and Drew Show.
Move 103.5.
The random question of the day. Random question of the day. A silly little question. A funny little question. A wacky little question. It's the random question of the day.
What's a simple but really great invention? You can text us 103535 or call 280-1035, of course, on Instagram and Facebook as well. The reason I ask this is because something that I just, for me, yesterday, I was like, my God, I love this thing so much. And it's the expandable hose. I have two expandable hoses.
Of all the things I did not expect Nat to say today.
Yeah.
The confession of her love of the expandable hose is like right up there at the top.
Previously, when I didn't have expandable hoses,
Yep. The
idea of doing that thing in the garden where you've got like a 100-foot hose and you like you have to like wind it up or whatever, and it drags through the grass and the mud and
kinks up,
and there's always, and I hate that. And now like the expandable ones, and if you don't know what it is, like basically they're maybe 15 or 20 feet long, but when the water's in them, they expand to like 100 feet. You turn the water off, and then the hose shrinks, and basically there's no winding. Just was using it yesterday.
Like, I don't believe that's true.
No, it is true. It's a thing.
Sorry, what do you not believe is true, Aaron?
All of it. You expand it, it goes, and then you turn the water off and it shrinks back down on its own.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just don't believe it.
Have you not, you're not familiar with the gardening phenomenon known as the expandable hose?
No, and you guys know I water every day, hand water every day, and I don't even have the roller. I have to do it around my arm.
Oh, Aaron.
Okay, and then it kinks up and I have to like unwind it 15 times while I'm watering.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
oh, do yourself a favor and get yourself an expandable hose. Today.
It just feels wrong though. What's the material?
I don't know. I don't
magic.
It's
magic material.
It's just it's some sort of soft.
It's very soft. Yeah.
It's I love it. Anyway, so that's,
no, it's very cool.
It's so, you know, what is a simple but awesome awesome contraption? So the idea, like, not technology, of course, like the iPad's amazing and all that stuff. So these are simple gadgets that you're just like, oh, I love it.
We're staying away from tech, because still, honestly, I'm old enough where Wi-Fi still blows me away sometimes when I think about it. But we're not going down that road. I'll stay in the yard, though.
Okay.
I'll stay in the yard. I'll pick up your expandable hose thing and carry on with the rechargeable battery-powered lawnmower.
Oh, yeah. I just bought one for my Nana when I was home.
No. No cords, no gas.
We have one of those.
No rechargeable lithium battery.
Yeah. No choking it or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, doesn't that feel good, Joey?
Oh, yeah.
Aaron, are you cutting your grass with scissors? What are you doing?
None of that.
We have a few texts that have come in about the expandable hose.
Thank you.
No, from New West, I love those hoses too. Bought one this year. Somebody else, I love my expandable hose. Expands to 9 times its size.
Yes.
I can't believe I didn't know about this.
It's there. Yeah, it's the new, like, I mean, if you don't.
It's the new thing.
It's the new thing. Every cool person has it.
It's been the new thing for about 15 years. But
made by Wham-O?
Yes, from the people who brought you the banana slide.
Thank you.
They also bring you the expandable hose.
Joey, do you have one?
Yeah, the thing that holds my hair dryer in my bathroom. It gets attached to the wall and holds the hair dryer.
Yeah. Like a hotel?
I'm sorry, are you talking about a hook?
Yeah, but it's specifically designed for a hair dryer. And it's damage free because it's command strip, so it's damage free.
Uh-huh.
This morning, as I like took it off, dried my hair, and then put it right back. I was like, it's the best thing in the whole world. It takes up no counter space.
I've just never seen anybody have one in, like, except in hotels.
Yeah, because, and then they have to, like, wind up the cable, put it back in the drawer, under the, no.
Takes up so much space.
Yes, hang it right on the wall. Best thing I ever bought.
But was it the command strip that, and you just came up with this idea, or is there actually...
No, you can buy it. Command strip makes a hairdryer holder.
Okay.
Look at all of these inventions that Erin has never heard of.
No, I haven't. Yeah. I don't know what is wrong with
it. Erin has been drying her hair with a hand fan.
That's right. And that takes up a lot of space, that fan.
Erin, do you have one?
For me, it's the toaster, and I know that's weird, but it's like, honestly, it is a part of my life.
Toaster!
Every single day I use it. And honestly, the other day I was thinking about, like, could I live without my toaster?
And
it's
no.
The greatest. And the answer is absolutely not. Like, that was a good invention.
I agree.
Come on.
Yeah. You know what? Now that you say that, Erin, and I give it, I'm going to rethink mine as well with the lawnmower. The lawnmower is great, but I really have to give it to the wheel.
It'd be hard to live your life without that.
I think sometimes, what would I do with my car if I didn't have some wheels?
Like, what if they were square?
Come on. Simple invention, you said.
Yeah, like the press print.
Okay.
Where would we be?
Oh, the butter churner. That was so good. So good.
Okay, I'll get on the Whammo website and come up with something better.
Yeah, good idea. The random question of the day.
This is the Nat and Drew Show. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/NatandDrew.
You've probably found yourself in a situation like this at some point. You're out to dinner. Somebody's paying, somebody's tipping, and they're a bad tipper. Like a real bad tipper. What do you do, Joey?
I caused a scene.
You?
And me?
Really?
No, I was back in New Brunswick. I was there with my family, and my dad took my nan and I out for dinner. The dinner ended up being $70, and he tipped $5 on a $70 bill.
Was the service good?
It was fine. Like, it wasn't, and nothing that you'd be like, oh my God, I'm coming back because the service was so great, but it was just, fine.
It was fine. It was acceptable. Yeah.
And he tipped $5, and I looked over, and I was like, did you tip $5? And he's like, yeah. He's like, we were here for about a half hour. I think that's probably pretty good for a half hour exchange. And I was like, he's like, why? How much would you have tipped? And I was like, a lot more than that. Like, well, probably 20% is a pretty normal tip. Uh-huh.
15 anyway. Like, yeah. 15 is
10
still
anyway
normal.
Would have been nice.
For sure.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, that your dad has done a thing where it's time spent. Like, time spent at a place. Yeah. You know, like, is that, I'm not, like, I feel $5 is too low. I know there are a lot of people that are like, our tipping is getting out of control, where we're, where the minimum now on most machines is 18%. But it is interesting that he's like, well, we spent a half hour. Here's $5. Like, if he bumped it up a little bit, maybe he wouldn't have been so far off.
There is like a general, and I don't mean to generalize for everybody of a certain age. So Joey, you're talking about your dad. I know like years ago, I started to notice it with my parents as well. Like they just weren't as aware of what the base tips and kind of the unwritten rules around tipping was and what they were and how it was changing. And gosh knows it's gone up only much higher since that happened. So I would sometimes just, instead of like confronting and having the conversation in the restaurant, I would sometimes just slide in a little bit extra after the fact. People are walking out, I deke back, and then I, slide something else in there.
Aww.
To try to round it up. And instead of having the conversation, because there are times, again, not with everybody, but for some people it is a bit of a generational thing, particularly if you are in or come from a very small town where the culture, especially back then around tipping, was just very, very different.
So I think this will shock you guys, but I don't have a problem with that at all. I think that, when we talk about 20%, 30% tips, I mean, that is so much money. I mean, that is so much money on top of a meal. And I just think for most people right now in Canada, right now, it is so hard. And to be going out for dinner is one thing. And then, here's the tip, and it's the best I can do. And I also think with tips, it has to be an average, right? Like, there have to be people that are tipping 20 and 30% so that some people can tip less than that. I don't know. I went out for dinner the other day and I tipped, 20%, and it was like $30.
Yeah.
And I was like, of course you want to do that, but I understand fully the people who don't want to or can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that anybody here is saying that everybody is an automatic 20 or 30%. It's not. And I've certainly changed my stance on tipping over the last few years where it's become more and more out of control. Like before, it did feel like, oh, like if you gave 20%, that was more of an anomaly as opposed to now seemingly the expectation. So I don't think anybody here is like, yeah, it should be. The $5 on 70, I'm terrible at math, but it's way less than 10%.
So 7%.
7%. So, yeah. Like, that's where I'm kind of like, ugh. At the same time, I do think it's interesting because what if the bill was the same? So it's $70 and you stayed for, and so say you stayed for an hour and a half or 2 hours. Like, should you tip more on the time you're actually taking up the space? Because your dad only, they were only there for 30 minutes. Like, maybe you don't have to tip as much.
That actually is exceptionally fast service.
Yeah.
It was.
What kind really of food quick. Was it?
It was Eastside Mario's. It was okay. like a pasta right. chain. Yeah.
They and just threw the pasta.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Certainly over the course of the pandemic, tipping did get a lot more because I think a lot of people were trying to do what they could to support that industry.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and so if you're used to tips, if you work in that industry and you're used to tipping at that level, it's got to be tough now as things or people are trying to readjust and we have so much inflation in other areas. I can see the average tip coming down from what it was a year and a half ago.
So what ended up happening at the end of it? What was the net result?
So the end, I said, that's not a very good tip. And then my Nana said, yeah, Al, you're a bad tipper.
So Al's her son.
Al's her son, yeah. She's like, yeah.
So you both ganged up on your dad.
Yeah, and she said, like historically, you're a bad tipper. And he's like, I am? And so I was like, okay, this was good. He didn't realize he was bad a tipper. He thought that was good.
Did he put down more money?
No, we were already out of the restaurant by the time he came to the realization. I couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Next time might be different.
You're waking up with the Nat and Drew Show.
Okay, here we go.
Now, here's the scoop.
Well, if you're looking for something new to watch, season 2 of the whodunit mystery comedy, Only Murders in the Building, with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez, drops today on Disney+.
Does anyone else feel like there's still a couple of loose ends?
Get a new hobby, as long as it doesn't land you in jail.
Like knitting?
All right, don't be a smartass.
It's kind of her thing.
Shirley MacLaine, Amy Schumer also appear this season. Nathan Lane is back as well. It's an absolutely loaded cast for this show. So what do the critics say about season 2? Season 1 was a bit of a surprise and a critical darling. Apparently, the critics love this a lot because the current rating on Rotten Tomatoes for Only Murders in the Building season 2 is 100% fresh.
How many reviews?
I'm always Selena's mom.
Yeah. Drew Savage.
Good one.
I don't think I have, as much as I would love, I don't think I count as a critic. I don't think we're out here. 37 reviews so
okay,
far.
Okay, so I know that is good. I'm always curious because there's a lot of shows that start out at 100 and I get really, I'm like, ooh, 100. And then as more critics weigh in, then the fresh rating will drop down. This obviously is still going to end up really strong. It just might not end up with a full 100%.
But it's a good reminder though, right? That reviews, there need to be lots of them for you to really know what it's like.
Mm.
And the thing with Rotten Tomatoes is, and we've talked to a little bit about this before, 100% doesn't mean every single critic thinks it's a 10 out of 10. It's just like all of the critics think it's at least a 6.5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's that. It's not, it's a little different. But nonetheless, I mean, when the Emmy Award nominations come out in a few weeks, I think Only Murders season 1 is expected to get a boatload. This is a really short gap between seasons. I'm used to I'm used to Stranger Things where you're waiting 4 years for the next season or whatever. Season 1 of this show came out in October and here we are. It's not even, it's the end of June and season 2 is out.
I think the difference is the cast of Stranger Things is in their teens and you got a lot of time to play with. The cast of of Only Murders in the Building, save for Selena Gomez, is older, right? Yeah. Time marches on. Time is of the essence. Yeah. Strike while the iron is hot.
I don't know whether Steve Martin or Martin Short would appreciate hearing that.
No, probably not. All but right. They're not in the room, so this was a safe space. So Khloe Kardashian celebrated her 38th birthday yesterday, and the party was at her mom, Kris Jenner's house. So it was just like a little family lunch. But Kris got a little drunky and made a speech.
You are the queen of our family. You are the person who is always looking at the glass half full.
Glass half full.
She went on to say that Khloe is basically the glue that holds the Kardashian-Jenner clan together, because clearly Kris Jenner is not. She is getting smashed by about 12:30.
The Scoop, weekdays at 7:20, 8:20, and 9:20.
Move 103.5.
We're at the tail end of wedding season. June is still officially wedding month, although I don't know how many weddings there typically are over the Canada Day long weekend. I know people like to zero in on long weekends and stuff like that, but I don't know whether Canada Day is different or not. But anyway, something that has started to a trend, not like a massive trend, but enough that people are starting to talk about it, has been noticed as we are a month or so into wedding season for 2022. And it's a trend that relates to the something borrowed tradition when it comes to weddings. Something borrowed is getting a new twist. What borrowed item has been shown to be getting quite popular for brides to incorporate into their big day in 2022?
Is it something to do with the dress? Like borrowing, like taking somebody's dress, borrowing somebody's dress, and like putting your own spin on it?
Whose dress are they borrowing at?
A complete stranger's. Their mom's.
Their mom's dress. Recycling and using mom's dress is becoming a thing in 2022.
Love it.
Not often just straight up wearing the same dress,
sure,
but altering it, maybe making some other changes just beyond sizing and stuff like that, some style changes to it, whatever. But taking mom's dress and altering it to suit you, and that's the something borrowed that's popping up in weddings this year.
Super sweet.
Oh.
I had an elopement, and so my mom, I didn't borrow my mom's dress.
But didn't even invite her.
I didn't. So she was like, both the moms were invited to the party after, a month after, and we still hear about it many years later. But that's a different subject for a different time.
Yeah.
But I didn't borrow my mom's wedding dress, but for my grade 8 grad, I borrowed a dress from my mom.
My gosh!
And it's so funny because if you look back at the photos, my dress seemed like just really inappropriate. Not like it was too revealing, but it just seemed, I was 13, but it just seemed like very much like a grown lady's dress.
Like a cocktail dress?
Yeah, there was a brooch. Like it just,
I love that. It's very Molly Ringwald.
I don't know.
Yeah, very pretty in pink. Yes. That was pretty in pink. Yes.
I didn't update it again. It was just I borrowed my mom's cocktail dress. Grade 8 grad.
Do you still have your wedding dress, Aaron?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
So if Ainsley and Charlotte ever expressed interest in it?
I cut it short, which was the biggest mistake of my life. And that is one thing good photographer, don't alter your wedding dress. Because I thought, oh, I'll be able to wear it at Christmas or I'll be able to wear it to parties and stuff, right? Yeah. No, I never did. And then, of course, it's not really a wedding dress. So there's some great arms.
Yeah.
Maybe they can use the arms on it.
There's no cut pieces from the dress.
Very much like Molly Ringwald.
Exactly. Catch the Nat and Drew Show. Weekday mornings from 5:30 to 10. Move 103.5.